Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I know I'm excited all the time on the radio to tell you about my guest, but boy, this is really cool. Mr. Don Blandon is on the line with us. He is an expert on financial literacy. He is president and CEO of Investor Protection Trust, and you might better know the organization by its website, investorprotection.org. They are a clearinghouse of information about how to help people know more about finances and how to protect themselves, and they do a lot of studies. And Don, I'm so excited you're on the program.
David, I'm glad to be with you.
So tell us a little bit about your organization, how it got started, and then we'll get into some of the nitty-gritty about what people need to know about their finances and how they can protect themselves.
Well, the Investor Protection Trust was created about 20 years ago in 1993. It was created by the North American Securities Administrators Association, and every state has a state securities regulator, and that's a place where you can go for help to check out backgrounds of broker-dealers and financial planners and get a lot of good information on investor education and investor protection. We're a charitable trust. We have our own funds. Most of it comes from fines when a company has done something that wasn't in the investor's interest, and they get fined for it, and we get part of that money, which isn't, when it's not possible to return it to the victim. The first thing we try to do, obviously, is make sure that the victims get back their monies, but,
sure.
But sometimes they can't, so we get it and we turn it into investor education programs all around the country.
That seems very just. That seems very just that you can take something that's bad behavior and turn it into something where the next person hopefully can be protected. So I share with you before we started, and I'll share with our listeners, what really prompted me to want to have Don on the program is there was a USA Today article not too long ago that was actually back in, I think it was back in August, and it just hit me like a sledgehammer to the temple, Don. And I'll read it for our listeners. And it said, it's talking about why there's such a problem with people that are having their money either swindled or outright stolen, and we're talking especially about seniors. And it said that some older Americans are too embarrassed to talk about financial abuse if that's happened to them. And then the very next line, it says some lack the tools to find a good financial advisor and may not have the knowledge to understand investment advice. And of course, that's a lot of what you're trying to address.
Absolutely. We're trying to do it. Sometimes when I'm out talking to community organizations all around the country, I talk about having an approach where you takes a village. You have to get everyone who is in touch with seniors, everyone who comes in contact with seniors, from medical professionals to law enforcement folks to community leaders, and make sure that this segment of our population, which is growing rapidly, is got the help that they need to make sure that they're able to manage what they've spent a lifetime growing in terms of their nest egg for their financial security, and making sure that they can keep it as long as they need it, and that no one is going to try to take it away from them because they can become a bit more vulnerable as they age.
Well, that's very well said, and it's a very dangerous combination of course, the seniors and the elder population have had a lifetime to work and accumulate, so they tend to be the ones that have the money, and unfortunately, they also, there's a time at which they can see some mental, you know, degradation, and they become a little bit more at risk. And so it's a bad combination. So I think that as much public education that we can provide, the better.
In fact, the seniors in this country hold over 70% of the disposable income. So you're absolutely right. They have the funds, and they're going to need them because the good news is we're all living longer because of healthier lifestyles and advances in medicine. The bad news is we got to pay for it.
So
we've got to make sure that we don't lose it to any kind of a financial exploitation, which unfortunately is happening more often now as we see the population aging.
Well, and that's exactly where the third leg of this nasty stool is that if you're a bad guy and you want to, you know, try to steal somebody's money, who are you going to target? You're going to target the person that has money, or you're going to target the person who is maybe a bit not as mentally strong. And boy, if you can have somebody with both of those characteristics, that's where they're going to target.
And let me just say this, David. You know, I work with people who are trying to help seniors financially, financial planners, for example, all over the country. And financial professionals, the vast majority of them, are very honest. They're trying to do a good job. They're trying to figure out how to help these folks. Unfortunately, like anything, there's a few bad apples in the bunch. And it's the bad apples who can just take a scam like a Ponzi scheme or an affinity fraud or a gas and oil scheme or a boiler room or any of those things where you lose your money, you can lose it overnight because you've been convinced that there's something out there that you've just got to have, and you try for it, and it turns out to not even exist in some cases. So what we're trying to do is make sure that we're trying to prevent that, make sure it isn't happening, because once it happens, it's hard to recover those funds, and that's the really tough part here. So we really have to look out for one another. And if you think you're not affected by this, think about seniors who lose all their life savings, and then they end up losing their home, and then they end up going on Medicaid, and they're not paying taxes. That's going to have a very bad and very detrimental effect on our national economy, and we're all going to suffer for that.
Well, and on top of that, there is their ability to, you know, beyond their needs, the contribution they make to our economy in terms of their disposable spending, and then they all the different things that they do that would otherwise be how they use that money and as part of the economy. We're going to take a quick break, Don. When we come back, I would really like to talk about the three problem areas where financial exploitation. Ladies and gentlemen, Don Blandon is our expert on the program today. He's president and CEO of Investor Protection Trust, investorprotection.org. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
And we're back. Don, thanks for joining us. Don Blandon is on the line with us, expert CEO of Investor Protection Trust, investorprotection.org. Don's in the center of he's the epicenter of trying to help people understand more about finances and education. Of course, Don, you and I talked before we started the program, and this is an area that's really close to my heart that I work on almost every day, and I've written a couple of books, and I've sent them to you to look at, how to get great advice and avoid scams, which is a lot of what this is about. The three areas that you are very familiar with, I know, are the three areas of financial exploitation, and this is what I think will surprise our listeners. There's three areas, and let's just go through them one at a time if we can.
Sure. Let me just say that the way we identified the three areas is we went out with an online poll of professionals around the country. These were state securities regulators, financial planners, healthcare professionals, social workers, people in adult protective services, law enforcement officials, elder law attorneys, and investment fraud, all of them familiar with investment fraud, how it worked, and financial exploitation. And these experts, over 750 of them, said that they were the most common abuses. The top three financial exploitation problems identified were theft or diversion of funds of property by family members. Family members, unfortunately, and this is sad to hear, end up financially scamming them within the family.
Yeah.
And that's the number one. That was 79%. That's the number one threat. The
See, other that's one is, staggering that it's number one.
Well, think about it. Again, this is ranges in it can be the nephew who borrows or takes the ATM card from the aunt, finds out what the PIN is, and slowly but surely takes money out of the account over time because of a need that he or another relative might have. It could be a real serious problem. It could be a drug abuse problem or an alcohol abuse problem, and they're getting their money from someone who they think is going to notice it's gone. And in some cases, they don't notice it's gone. And when they're in an aging process and they get over a particular age and they've got a lot of things they're trying to do, and in some cases they're isolated. They're like widows or widowers, and so it can happen at that level, or it can happen, as you've heard, very recently in Florida, a major Ponzi scheme where you lose all your money overnight.
Amazing. So number one is family members, because again, they have access and they have the trust. Number two was, here we go, by another person with access and trust is the caregiver.
Exactly. 49% of our experts said that in many cases the financial exploitation is by the caregivers, people who come in and are supposed to be helping the senior with activities of daily living, what we call ADLs, like paying the bills and making sure that the house is clean and et cetera. And unfortunately, they get access to some funds, and then those funds start disappearing as well. And then the third The third threat is theft of funds, exploitation by strangers, financial scams perpetuated by strangers. These could be people who can knock, go knock on the door and say, "Hey, I noticed you might have a leak on your roof. Let me go up there and fix it." They go up with the hose, they throw some water up there, they come back down and says, "I fixed it. You owe me $1,500." And the senior, takes out their checkbook, you know. And if they get it the first time, this is the sad part. If they get it the first time, those same people will be back.
Wow.
On some other job that they're doing to help that senior.
Wow.
And we had a case in a state recently where over $90,000 in checks were made for yard work over a month period. It was really sad.
I sure hope that yard looked good.
It didn't look good at all.
It didn't look good at all. I know you're going to say that. You're just joining us, ladies and gentlemen. Don Blandon is on the line with us. He's president and CEO of Investor Protection Trust, and the website is investorprotection.org. And we're going to take another quick break, Don. Come right back, and we can talk about, hopefully, some things that we can help our listeners with, how to protect themselves. So stay right there.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Excellent. We're back with Don Blandon. He is the president and CEO of Investor Protection Trust, investorprotection.org. And, you know, Don, before the break, we're talking about what can people do? And, you know, you mentioned the Ponzi scheme that just broke in Florida, a woman sentenced to, I think she got 30 years of prison, defrauded investors out of an estimated $100 million. And this affected some people in my local area. And it was a classic Ponzi scheme and involved using where people would have the opportunity to give her money that she would give them promissory notes, and then it was supposed to go to car loans to earn high interest. And of course, in the process, one of the ways this always seems to happen is she got control of the people's money, and it was a big scam.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you know, that's one of the key elements, I think, for our listeners to always keep in mind. If they don't have control of your money, it's really difficult to do the scam. So when I was breaking this down in my book, How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams, the formula I use, because I'm a CPA, Don, so I always kind of look at things mathematically. You know, they got to have trust, they got to have control, and they get access to your money. And then the thing that makes it a scam is in that intent to deceive. So you could have a situation where a family member, you know, they write your checks, they have control of your money, they do all that, and they have your trust. That's not a scam. They're just taking care of business for you. But when you enter in or have that additional element of the intent to deceive, it's very easy then for that to become a scam or a theft.
Yes, it can. And over time, people justify it in their own minds. The people who do these scams, for example, family members say, "Well, you know, my mother is 90 and pretty soon she won't be needing this and I need it now. So,
and I'm going to get it anyway."
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to get it anyway. And or a caregiver who is being paid to help someone, and that someone can maybe be a little difficult as they age because they have more and more needs, and the caregiver just decides to give himself or herself a raise out of the money that they have to do the grocery shopping. We saw this recently where thousands and thousands of dollars in one case, in fact, out of $250,000, the $250,000 went down to $14,000 in about 3 years because the person was helping with the groceries. Now, that's a lot of groceries.
That sure
is. So that, you know, these kind of things are something that you really have to look for, and we really have to help one another. So if your listeners who are in touch with seniors, whether they're family members or the woman or the man down the street, if you know an older adult that is socially isolated, depressed or lonely, or has experienced a change in the ability for self-care, or someone who depends on someone else to come in and provide everyday care, has just lost a loved one, such as a spouse, just take a little extra time to make sure that that person is getting the help that they need in managing their financial affairs.
And you also mentioned one of the things in your recent that article in USA Today is that people that get scammed, especially seniors, of course, I'm sure very often with younger people as well, they're embarrassed and they don't want to tell people. So you need to be on the lookout for maybe some of the warning signs where they start acting strangely, a big change in behavior, a change of their, you know, their spending and other signs.
David, I'm in my 60s. I'm 64. Just turned 64. I feel like I should sing a little Beatles song, but I'm not going to do that. But by the way, Paul McCartney, when he wrote that for his father when he was a teenager, when he was asked when he turned 64, Sir Paul McCartney, he said, well, he would make it 84 today, because aging has really changed. I mean, a lot of people are doing just fine as they age and managing their money, but if they have some cognitive skill decline, if they get mild cognitive impairment, which can happen to any of us, the brain shrinks as we age, and it puts a threat to us that we lose that cognitive skill and we become less risk-averse when it comes to managing our money, and that's when we become vulnerable. So what we really need to do is make sure that we're watching out after one another, and that's why we're working with doctors around the country,
sure.
and nurses and
sure.
nurse practitioners, because once a year, who do you see, and you go in and you go in for your medical checkup, you know, in addition to taking your blood pressure and checking for other things, we're getting the doctors trained so that they can spot when someone is having trouble with finances, because the time to do it is before they become a victim, obviously.
Well,
the time to intervene is early on rather than later.
Exactly. And you know, from a financial planner standpoint, that's actually one of the things that we're always on the lookout for is do we see any, for lack of a better word, do we see any slippage? And if we do, you know, we let people know that, you know, we kind of bring up that conversation and say, well, you know, it'll somehow weave it into the conversation and tell them that I just want to let you know that if we ever notice any indication that you are slipping, then we will let you know or want to let your family know. So we let them know that that's something that we're aware of, because we do see them often enough that we notice those changes.
And financial planners and others who are working with seniors, as they see the change in the ability to, say, look at an annuity chart or some other financial product that might be appropriate at a certain age, if they're seeing a little puzzlement, if they're seeing some confusion there, make sure they've got someone there who can explain it and help them so that they're not getting the wrong thing for them.
Absolutely.
And involving the family. And what I would urge my fellow seniors to do is what I've done with my 22-year-old daughter and 24-year-old son, and I've explained to them how we've managed our money over time. My wife and I, we've just celebrated our 40th anniversary. And, you know, and I said, if I start acting differently than what I've been doing, you've been seeing for the last couple of decades, call me on it.
Let me know. Yeah, let me know.
Let me know. Call me on it.
Well,
because I don't want to make the mistake and lose everything that I've worked very hard for.
No, sir, they don't. And no, sir, you don't. And for our listeners, Don Blandon is our expert on the line, president and CEO of Investor Protection Trust, investorprotection.org. We're going to take one more quick break, Don. When we come back, I'd love for you to talk a little bit about financial planners and their credentials, because that's another area of confusion.
Yes.
All right. Stay right there.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
We're back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined by Don Blandon on the line. He's president and CEO of Investor Protection Trust, investorprotection.org, and he's almost a senior, 64 years old. You're not quite there yet, Don. All right. So before the break, I introduced this other question that I know is a very commonly misunderstood area, and that is the area of if somebody is going to work with an advisor, you know, understanding the differences between advisors. You know, you've seen it from your experience, which is vast. There are so many different types of advisors, and advisors are not created equal. They have different credentials, education, experience, capabilities, flexibility, objectivity, biases, all these things, and also how they're paid. What can you share with our listeners about something as simple as understanding an advisor's credentials?
Well, one is that we're seeing a lot of problems with people who are hanging out a shingle and saying that they are a senior specialist, someone who can work specifically with seniors. And, you know, if you're a good financial planner and you've got acceptable credentials like the Certified Financial Practitioner, which I believe you are. I think you are a CFP.
Yes, sir.
You?
Thank you very much for that.
And I was on the CFP Board of Standards, so I know what people have to go through to get that designation.
And, I'm still recovering.
What they have to continue to get through every single year to keep it. So, you know, make sure that you're checking out backgrounds and interviewing. When you're interviewing someone, I always recommend interview at least three people.
Absolutely.
You know, don't just go with what someone, you know, in the neighborhood recommended. Just go on. We have a book called Getting Help, for example, on our website. We have a number of booklets which are written in plain English for people. They're non-commercial. They're unbiased. And Getting Help with Your Investments is one of the most popular ones because it helps people understand the credentials that different planners have and how to check out their backgrounds before you hire them and make sure that, you know, they've got all their licenses, that they haven't got any complaints or problems. And then you have to pick the right planner that fits your needs and your risk tolerance and other things. Is they need to know a lot about you. If someone just comes in and says in the first interview, "Here's some products I can see from how you look and how old you are that these are for you."
Yeah,
you know,
right.
walk out. You know,
run.
You have to have at least a long conversation with that person you're interviewing so they have an idea of what your goals are and where you are in this point in time before they can help you.
Don, there's so much we can talk about, but it's not enough time in one show. We're going to have you back. Ladies and gentlemen, Don Blandon is our expert today, a true expert in the financial field, president and CEO of Investor Protection Trust, investorprotection.org. Go there and check out the booklets like Don talked about, Getting Help with Your Investments. Don, thank you very much. Stay on the line. I'll talk to you in just a minute. Thank you for being on the program.
Thank you, David.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.